investigation that was conducted in response to two hepatitis B outbreaks in Virginia. The title of my presentation is Sticking It to Them, Infection Control Practices in Virginia Assisted Living Facilities. And to begin with, I'm going to give you some background on assisted living facilities just in general. Assisted living facilities, or ALFs, are different from nursing homes. These facilities care for people needing assistance with activities of daily living. Residents must be ambulatory and not require skilled nursing care. ALFs offer an intermediate level of long-term care for adults. Assisted living facilities operate under a social model, and this is unlike nursing homes, which operate under a medical model. With the aging U.S. population, more persons are residing in assisted living facilities. In 1991, there are an estimated 613,000 beds in assisted living. This is compared to close to 1 million beds in 2004. As shown on this figure from the National Center for Assisted Living, the number of beds is projected to double by the year 2030. With this increase, the medical needs of ALFs and their residents are also becoming more demanding. ALFs are currently not subject to any federal oversight, unlike nursing homes. Licensing regulations for assisted living vary by state, with some state agencies regulating both nursing homes and assisted living facilities. In Virginia, ALFs are licensed by the Department of Social Services, or DSS. At the time of this survey, there was no state regulation which specifically addressed elements of infection control, as well as OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard within assisted living. In August of 2005, the Virginia Department of Health, or VDH, was notified of two suspected hepatitis B outbreaks within Richmond City assisted living facilities. VDH was notified of the first outbreak on August 2, 2005. This outbreak took place in an assisted living facility with 84 residents. The two case patients with acute hepatitis B, or HBV, lived in adjacent rooms and were both diabetic. On August 14, 2005, VDH was alerted of another potential outbreak of hepatitis B in Richmond City. A resident of a local assisted living facility died from complications of acute HBV. Subsequently, the state and local health departments investigated these two potential outbreaks. In outbreak one, 7 of the 39 at-risk persons tested, including the two original symptomatic patients, were classified as having acute HBV infection. Among diabetics tested, 35% were positive. In outbreak two, 4 of the 29 at-risk persons, including the deceased index patient, were classified as having acute HBV infection. All of the residents with acute HBV infection were diabetics who had glucose monitoring performed by facility staff. There were several interesting observations made from the infection control assessments at these two outbreak facilities. Glucose monitoring equipment was shared among residents and diabetic staff, not assigned to individuals as recommended. Glucometers and Penlet fingerstick devices, in which the lancet is changed between uses but the housing reused, were not clean between uses and had dried blood visible on their surfaces. Lastly, the assisted living facilities did not have any infection control policies in place. In response to the outbreaks, the involved ALFs were educated regarding existing recommended practices. VDH collaborated with DSS and CDC in preparing an educational mailing that was distributed to all 640 assisted living facilities in Virginia in September of 2005. In addition, the CDC and VDH worked together to plan a follow-up survey, and the remainder of my talk will focus on this survey. The objectives of this follow-up survey were to characterize existing practices and promote safe procedures, including assisting with OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard compliance. Lastly, the results of the survey would be used to identify educational and policy needs. The sampling frame for this survey consisted of 155 ALFs within Central Virginia. We drew a random sample of ALFs within this licensing area and contacted these ALFs by mail and telephone. we sought to achieve a sample size of 50 ALFs. From April to November of 2006, data collection interviews were conducted. The questionnaire used in on-site interviews with facility administrators and/or nursing supervisors collected information on resident and staff characteristics, diabetes management practices, and infection control practices. In addition to the questionnaire, an observational or walkthrough survey was conducted. The interview concluded with a brief educational session. We surveyed 50 ALFs in 16 counties or cities highlighted here in pink within central Virginia. Richmond City, the site of the two outbreaks, is highlighted here in yellow. With respect to facility characteristics, 32% of ALFs were individually owned. 68% were owned by a corporation, limited liability corporation, partnership, or unincorporated association, and for analysis were classified as having corporate ownership. 12% of ALFs were affiliated with a skilled nursing facility on-site. The median number of residents within an assisted living facility surveyed was 41, with a range of 3 to 111 residents. The median percentage of diabetics at the time of interview was 14%. This table shows the median number of full-time healthcare staff by three ALF size groups. These groups were established by dividing the sample licensing capacity distribution into thirds. The median number of full-time direct care staff for all ALFs, shown in the last column, was one licensed nurse, two certified nursing assistants, and five medication technicians per facility. The greater than 50 beds group was the only group which had a median number of licensed nurses greater than zero. Penlet fingerstick devices were shared within 16% of ALFs who used such devices, and none of these seven facilities cleaned the device in between resident uses. 16% of ALFs share glucometers, and half of those facilities clean glucometers in between residents. Sharing practices did not differ by facility size nor ownership. 62% of ALFs surveyed did not use safety lancets. These lancets, pictured on the slide, are specifically designed so that they can only be used once and then be disposed. 78% did not use safety needles to administer injectable medications. Like safety lancets, these needles were tracked. The use of these safety devices did not differ by ALF ownership. However, larger ALFs were significantly more likely to use safety devices as compared to small and medium-sized ALFs. Compliance with the bloodborne pathogen standard was defined as providing the hepatitis B vaccine to employees, using a regulated sharps container with appropriate disposal means, and having at least a policy regarding blood spill cleanup and post-exposure follow-up after a sharps injury. Using chi-square analysis, we determined that compliance was significantly higher among larger ALFs. Using the same definitions, we assessed bloodborne pathogen standard compliance by ALF ownership. ALFs owned by individuals less frequently had a bloodborne pathogen plan compared to those owned by or affiliated with a corporation. Results of the walkthrough survey identify that 10% of ALFs did not use a regulated sharps container. 11% of ALFs did not have hand washing supplies, such as soap and paper towels, at sinks used by staff. And lastly, nearly a third of ALFs did not have a sink close to their glucose monitoring area. This may impede staff from washing their hand after performing direct care procedures such as glucose monitoring. In conclusion, the results of the survey found that ALFs affiliated with corporations were more likely to have infection control plans that comply with OSHA bloodborne pathogen standards. Despite outreach by the health department and long-standing recommendations, over one-third of ALFs were non-compliant or not aware of the OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard or current CDC recommendations. Sharing practices for blood glucose monitoring devices continues to occur and did not differ by ALF size or ownership. Lastly, it was evident that an educational need for infection control training still exists. The major limitations of this survey were that we were unable to fully observe staff practices during the interview, thus we relied on self-report in many instances. Our sample was limited to Central Virginia ALF and may not be representative of other areas of the state. And finally, ALF licensing regulations vary by state. Our findings and recommendations may not be applicable to other states. The results of this study led us to make the following recommendations. Firstly, assisted living facility staff must be educated via in-person meetings and training workshops. Secondly, the bloodborne pathogen standards should be promoted in assisted living via fact sheets and training. And lastly, we recommend that specific infection control guidelines be incorporated into state regulations. Using EPI methods to design and carry out an infection control survey provided data that drove supported efforts to incorporate infection control policies into state regulation. Virginia assisted living facilities are now required to have an infection control plan in place. Additionally, efforts are underway to develop infection control educational materials specific to ALF, as well as develop a train-the-trainer program in coordination with DSS, the Department of Social Services. I'd like to acknowledge the following persons from the Virginia Department of Health, the Department of Social Services, and the CDC, especially my co-authors, Mary Beth White-Comstock, Dr. Diane Woolard, and Dr. Joe Purse. Thank you.